jamming till the jam is through. We're jamming.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Living Clean and Sober with Johnny Rags and my co-host, Ken McDonald.
Hello, everybody. How's everybody doing tonight? No answers?
Of course. Never mind, I can't think of the word.
Our dedicated engineer.
Gestapo-ish.
Instruction book.
Engineer.
I know, I'm horrible.
Directions.
Hi, good morning, how are you?
I'm good. Let's get to our guest right away. We have the lovely Shannon.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Shannon.
Hi.
How you doing, kid?
I'm doing very well. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy.
Good. We're happy you're here. This sounds funny, these
it
days.
It does.
Weird. Yeah. And we have Pam and her husband,
Hi, Pam.
Mike.
Hi.
Welcome to the show, my friends.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
From the bottom of my heart.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you.
How you doing?
I'm good. We had a recovery coach class last week, so it was a busy week last week. Another 32 Warriors.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah, it was awesome.
City of Angels. Great organization, huh?
Yep.
You can visit us at City of Angels. cityofangelsnj.org.
My man.
And John, did you notice what else I put up all around the room?
I'm calling. I saw it there. I didn't see it.
Took me a year and a half.
But well,
you got it.
We're having a good time. We're also doing a good thing here. Living clean and sober. Shannon in recovery. Pam and Mike. Tragedy. But it brings us all together and we work to get through it and we try to help others that might go through the same thing. So that's what we do here. And our regular guests know that because they listen every week.
Right.
That's
yeah,
right.
There's tons of people that listen, yes.
And we're worldwide, so.
So we should be expecting some callers. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm not too sure about that. It's very difficult to dial 10 digits, Shannon. I mean, come on, let's face it. I mean, when we need help, I mean, it's very difficult to ask, right, John?
Yes, it is.
You know, so, but what we're trying to let people know that is we're here if they want to call.
Absolutely. Difficult, not impossible.
That's right.
So, here we are. Okay, if you want to listen, coaradio.com. Also, 609-241-7103.
Nice.
Call in number. Call us. We love callers. Artie's the ever-capable guy handling the phone there. And call us with questions. You have any questions for our guests? Okay. What's... Are you listening?
Keep the headphones on, John.
You got me now? Gave me a Fugazi microphone.
Art, well, it's too late for us to start over, so, I mean,
I hope
you know.
I got my intro.
Why don't we tell us how you got here, Shannon? Let's get this party started, you know what I'm saying? There's no time like the present.
That's right.
You got me?
How did you get here? What are you doing?
Got me?
I know you're glad to be here, but let's bring it.
Now?
Good.
Are you good?
I'm good.
I'm more than good.
Well, my higher power came to me through means of handcuffs when I was in my active addiction.
Handcuffs, always persuasive.
But looking back, it was the best thing.
I can't picture you in handcuffs.
Oh, I was.
Actually.
I spent a little bit of time in jail, too. So.
Okay.
But it was the best thing that ever happened to me because nothing else was stopping me. You get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Nothing.
I got what you're saying.
And I haven't turned back since. I haven't found a reason, an excuse, nothing to use because my life in recovery is, like they say, beyond my wildest dreams. So
I've
been here ever since.
I'm glad you are. I would have
me
never
too.
Met you. I ended up here myself.
funny thing happened. I dropped in also. Dropped in. Maybe somebody will figure out what that means.
Wait a minute. Dropped in. Yeah, I get it.
Good?
I guess.
Everybody else good?
No, I am not seeing you. Why am I not seeing you?
Don't stop talking.
Oh, I didn't know you. I didn't know you said my name, Arthur. I'm sorry. Is that good now? All right.
Everybody's good except for him. I'm not hearing
you. Okay.
Why?
Maybe John, you're not supposed to talk tonight. So.
Can you hear me, John?
No, not through the headphones.
Well, that's how you're supposed to hear.
Yeah, no, I don't hear you.
No?
I hear you.
You hear me?
Yeah, I do.
You can't?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, and you're over here, too. I can hear you.
You can hear me? Who's on first? Let's try it out.
Well, I heard that.
I'm glad you heard that. Did you hear that?
Yes.
So, Pam, you know, tell us what's going on.
Yeah, I just want to say I never expected to be here. I'm here because my 23-year-old son, Carlos, passed away on December 23rd from a heroin overdose after having been clean this past amount of time for 10 months. And he died exactly 1 week, 3 weeks, after walking me down the aisle to marry Mike, who's sitting next to me now. And that was such a happy day for all of us. And Carlos was smiling from ear to ear. Right. All the family got to see him, all his friends, all our friends. They knew that he was in, most of the folks knew that he was in recovery. he had been clean prior about a year and a half. And his story started when he was 15 and a half years old, started smoking pot. And I'm sorry, I don't care what people say. For Carlos, pot was definitely a gateway drug, and he admitted that. Smoked pot, you know, off and on, I'm sure, but then very quickly escalated to any number of drugs, and his drug of choice that he settled on at about 16 and a half was heroin. And... Wow. You know, I thought there was a problem. I knew there was a problem with pot. Tried to get him into a program right away, and he went. He was there. He wasn't engaged. You know, he was searching for something that he thought he was finding in the drug. He went from being a straight-A student, very involved in music, which he did continue throughout his life, to almost not graduating from high school because he was in and out of jail as a juvenile, in and out of jail as an adult, and just, you know, really, really struggled. And as a parent, there's nothing that is worse than to see your child struggling and you don't know what to do. You know, you look for resources. You try and figure out what's the best thing. How can I help my child? He's in pain. You can see that he's in pain. Mm. And you can see that this disease is gripping him, and you just don't know what to do. And he's in and out of rehab. And rehab, the doctors are saying after 8 days that he's ready to go back on the street. And even Carlos said, what do you mean? I can't be ready. I don't feel ready.
Right.
But it was just... unfortunately for him, it was a struggle that he didn't win.
Well, we do what we do, and I loved Carlos, and I had a relationship with him, and he was a great kid.
Thank you.
He always brought me joy. We always had fun, laughs, and you know, when you're side by side with someone, you don't, like, I know I don't think, well, geez, maybe this might be the last time I see this guy or girl. I just don't, I'm not programmed to think like that.
Right.
But, you know, what you said about the progression and the gateway, I agree with all that. Mm-hmm. And now it becomes time to, I lost my ex-wife, Jennifer, to a heroin overdose. And lots of people close to me. And
like we said at dinner, I'm going to keep this fight going on until my end of my days, because I dedicated my life to helping people out of this thing that we have that our kids and whoever's addicted just can't seem to get out.
Yeah.
It's just, it's frustrating, it's sad, and, you know, what do we do? Like, we think to ourselves, all right, now what can we do now?
Right.
You know? That mentality is what gives other people inspiration and courage to face their situation with their children or their loved ones, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know, I couldn't have two better people on the show tonight, and I mean that
from
my heart. And I'm really so happy that you decided to come. And I was worried about if it was, you know, I didn't know how to do it, you know what I mean? But you helped me so much in saying that you would come, and here you are. And
thank you. Well, you know, I'm a big believer in this is, even though we don't like the way this is going, this is God's plan. And Mike and I want Carlos's life on earth to continue to have a purpose, even though he's not here any longer. He was all about helping people. He volunteered at a rehab, working with others and trying to help them, help some of his friends stay clean, and they helped him. And he was a very caring, loving person. And we want to be able to help others in any way we can. We want to be able to outreach. We want to be able to tell parents, you know, there are resources for you. There are things that you can do. There are ways that you can help. And just to be a listening ear for people, you know. And I've never shied away from talking about any of the issues that were in my life, any of the painful things as well as the joyful things, because you can't really have, you don't appreciate joy until you've had pain, you know, and suffering. And for me, that's who I am, and that's who I've always been. And yeah, it would be probably easier if I just stayed in bed every day with the covers up over my head and blocked out the world. But I have a wonderful life with Mike. I have two other children. I have grandchildren now, instant grandchildren. The best kind. You know?
Yeah, they are.
And I want to embrace life fully, and that's the way I've always been, and that's who I am. And to be anybody else wouldn't be honoring my son, you know.
With all the problems that Carlos had, he always was reaching out to help other people and doing what he can to help people either with their money problems, with their addiction problems. He was always concerned about how to be nice to people. And he appreciated people being nice to him and not getting really into how you're doing with the drugs or, you know, you're feeling good today, or, you know, like that.
Right.
He was a great person. And he just had this demon that he had to keep on fighting.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the problems that people, many people don't see this as a disease.
That's right.
You know, and I had people tell me or ask me, why can't he just beat this? You know, well, why can't somebody with cancer just stop having cancer? You know, right. I mean, there's just so much involved that people don't know.
People just don't grasp that.
Yeah,
no, they don't.
Yeah.
It's a choice. That's what you get. It's a choice. Right.
And Carlos would say, do you think I chose this life? Do you think I chose having lost this college scholarship, lose jobs, lose girlfriends, lose friends, lose my parents, you know, spend my parents' money on drugs? Do you think that's anything that I chose to do, you know? But it's not really understood.
No, nobody woke up today and said, hey, guess what I'm going to be?
Just right.
I mean, I'm going to be a dope. Like, why can't they just stop? You know, it's an education process. I mean, we're slowly educating more people, but it's just not, everyone is not there yet.
And the thing is, yeah, the heroin and it's the substance, but it goes deeper than that because we have to deal with the disease of addiction.
Yes.
And that's how it manifests itself, by heroin or whatever, crack, cocaine. It might be any of that. But the deeper problem is that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
More so than people think it's a choice, then they can't really grasp that the disease concept has a hold on them and they just can't get out.
Mm-hmm.
Until something happens, like Shannon, it was handcuffs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, it was being homeless and not anybody wanting me around. And of course, it was physical limitations also, because if I could have continued using without all the nonsense that goes with it, I probably would have.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my dad used to always say to me, and I talk about this all the time, what's wrong with you? And I was a smart ass, of course. And I'd say, what's wrong with you? I don't know. But I never knew what was wrong with me until I found myself in a meeting and learned about this disease. And I never really had a shot to make healthy choices.
Mm-hmm.
I gave up. I wanted to be a doctor. I went to Temple University and I quit because I couldn't get high and go to school simultaneously. Mm-hmm. So the drugs won out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, disappointment for my, you know, all three of them, I have three brothers, all three of them were strung out. You know, you really think that I made a choice that when my mom would go upstairs and she would leave her pocketbook on that table, you really think I wanted to take that $100 out of there? Not really. But it goes to that, you know, and yeah, we have to deal with the heroin epidemic, but it's the disease behind it that keeps driving us to do what we do. Brushes with the law. It didn't matter really what happened to me, because I when I was in the back of a paddy wagon, I was never in handcuffs. I would never think, well, geez, maybe it's the disease that's got me in this paddy wagon. Never mm-hmm. thought like that, because
mm-hmm.
I didn't know any better, you know. And we talked about it earlier. The families, the shame of it is they don't want to talk about it. Already mentioned education, and that's, we've made strides in that area, but we still have a long way to go in that. Because I've been to a lot of parts of the country. I've been up to Staten Island for their town meetings, and we had people there who lost sons, daughters, you know, loved ones, talking about, and the people in that room, I mean, and it wasn't a seat, it was packed, still walking out, not convinced that. Yeah. So I don't know what we need, but we need something to deal
mm-hmm,
with this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part. And the family groups are big, because the families come, and that's where they get a lot of their information, from the source, the people who are involved with it. And then they start to get educated. I have a friend of mine that was on the show, calls me all the time. I have a kid. Oh, we got a call. How about that?
Oh, you're calling from the hotline. this is the radio show.
I sell an encyclopedia or something.
Yep, go ahead. Call it right back. Yep, thanks.
Is our number different?
Didn't we go through this
a
couple weeks ago?
We did.
Arthur.
We good? Tubular bells over here. We good?
Yeah.
Whoever that was, I guess
that was a call for the hotline.
Another one.
Yeah, see, this our phone system has both phone lines that come in. One goes to the hotline.
Mm. I mean, it's multiple choice.
Actually, the hotline is like 10 different cell phones that it rings to. Mm. So that if one person doesn't get it, it just goes to the next one.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
So, that being said, that's what we do. And we try, and we keep doing it. I said, I had lunch with Kevin one day, and he said, "How you doing?" And I said, "I'm frustrated and sad and angry and all that." And, you know, because I won't, like, if I'll get a call on the way home tonight, I'll be on the phone for another hour. That's really not a thing for me. So, you know, if that happens, you know, I won't sleep because, you know, and that's what I do. And you know, it could eat you up sometimes because my health isn't the greatest, so I try to. But we keep doing what we're doing, right?
Yeah, we do it, man, because, you know, that's why we're here, bro.
So I didn't mean to
look, I had to answer that message, but no, like when you were talking, look, I welcome death. I mean, I wanted to die for the last 35 years, and here I am today living and breathing, and I believe that I've been delivered to this program. This is where I've always was supposed to be. I was the guy who didn't want to be an addict. You know, I came from a good family, parents loved me, had everything as a kid, on and on and on. And then one day I wanted all the negative attention too, because I had all the positive. So whatever I had wasn't good enough, you know. And I met Johnny like 3.5 years ago, didn't want to say hi to him, had known him from the past. And I felt like this, and I says, you know what, I can't say hi to him. He doesn't want to help me. What can he possibly do for me? That's the disease of addiction. Mm-hmm. It's trying to talk me out of making a phone call. It's trying to talk me out of saying hi to somebody that can help me. It's trying to, you know, stop me from giving my mother a hug and a kiss and telling her I love her, because I'm only going to rip her off. You know what I mean? That's the disease of addiction. And that's what people need to understand, that it's this thing up here that needs to get reprogrammed. Some people go to jail and they get reprogrammed. Some people don't. Some people go homeless. I was homeless too. Trust me when I tell you, 3.5 years ago, I said, God, please take me. The drugs aren't working. I have nobody. Please just take it all away. And the miracle happened when I actually said that. I ended up going to detox. It was unbelievable. I got off the L. I'm like, Kensington Hospital, like, maybe I'll go there. Where did that come from? That I could get off the L and walk back and try to get help. It was a miracle. I didn't want to do it. I wasn't even thinking about it. But it just dawned on me, like you mentioned, higher power. That's what happened. You know, and then, you know, the light started, you know, getting lit again. You know, but what you were saying, like, I really admire that you want your son's life to live on, even though he isn't here, because that's why I do this. My purpose is to carry a message to an addict who still suffers. Doesn't care what I do for a living. I have lots of friends, you know, I'm successful in business, but I come here because this is what we do. I just want people to know that they don't have to die. And you know what? None of them think they can die. It's insane.
Invincible.
That's the truth.
I mean, people just say, no, I'll be okay. I'm like, motherfucker, you won't be okay if you keep doing what you're doing. You just don't get it. Right. Well, I'm going to try it my way. Okay. And me and him walk away from the conversations and we're like, wow, what more can we do? For a year, Johnny and I have sat down and talked. What more can we do to get that phone to ring? We can go to events with the City of Angels. We show up at places because that's all we can do is show up pretty much. And we try to show up as much as we can. So,
you know, John and I did an overdose prevention day, 2 years ago in Florence.
Right.
Or Riverside. It was in Riverside.
Hot that day.
And it was hot that day. But it was outside. It was right. The river line was right there. And we actually had people that we could help coming up and talking to us, and that's pretty rare at those events.
Right.
Usually it's family members, right, siblings, parents, you know.
I know. I remember that day. I was at the airport. I was coming back
that
in.
That was incredible.
So, you know, maybe that's something we need to do is, you know, hold more things like that in conjunction or within walking distance of,
let's,
you know,
plan
these train
for
things.
A couple months from now.
Yeah. When it's a little warmer.
Would you have a problem with the cold?
I do.
Me too.
We could do it in West Palm if you want. get a table, all that.
Well, I'm pretty sure we can go on any corner in America and
right.
draw a crowd.
Right.
That's
oh,
the
absolutely.
Sad part about this.
I agree 100%. But it's funny you mentioned that because we had, there was an impact there that day.
There was an impact there that day.
It was really, and it was kind of, it was low key. I remember we were pretty much low key.
It was right outside the police station.
Yeah. But it turned out to be, because most of the people that were there had come up to our table and were talking about solutions, which is what we discuss, which is why we show up.
Right.
The solutions, which is why I asked everybody that I talk to, recovery houses that I get involved with, volunteer. Yep. City of Angels needs people. That's what Pam and I discussed shortly yes. after what happened, right?
Yes.
So we got to keep doing it, and we got to keep doing it.
And that's what we're going to do.
I'm with you. You with
me? I'm with you. And I think you guys are doing a great job, and I just wanted to say to Pam and Mike that you give me a lot of hope, just having the strength that you do to come on the show and talk about your son. It's just, it's amazing to me, and you give
thank
me
you.
A lot of hope, so
thanks,
I just wanted
Shannon.
To thank you
thank
for
you.
That.
Well, and I've... You know, I'm a talker. Mike knows I talk, you know? But it's just
but
easier.
Something.
It's easier for me to do that than to, as I said before, kind of stick my head mm-hmm. under a pillow and right. pretend it wasn't, that the whole thing wasn't existing and that it would go away. And I have never, in talking with friends, neighbors, coworkers, strangers, never had anybody say, oh, well, you know, drug abuse, I don't even know anybody who's affected by
right.
that. Everybody
exactly.
has somebody. So, gosh, and gosh. Unfortunately, because it's so widespread, but people just don't know enough about it. They don't understand it. They think that they don't see the person who has the addiction as a victim in the whole thing. They see the person as, why can't you just stop?
Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes they start to view them as not even a person mm-hmm. anymore, right. which is, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's one problem. Thing that Carlos used to talk about mm-hmm. when he was in recovery and he had been clean for a while. I think he had been clean over a year. And he said, why are people still asking me how I'm doing? Why can't they be asking me, did you get a chance to play the drums this weekend? Because he was a musician. Or, you know, what are you going to do this weekend? Like something,
right.
anything
like
except how are you doing?
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
It's not like you never recover from it, which is actually untrue because you absolutely recover from it. And you become
right.
the same person or better person mm-hmm. than you were before because I just think you look at life, at, you know what I mean, in a different sense.
Mm-hmm. You know, I got to mm-hmm. tell you, it's been a long day for me, okay? I left the house pretty early, and I haven't been home yet. But, you know, I was sitting in my car waiting for everybody to get there, and it's probably the first time I was the first one there, by the way. But
let's
know,
not leave that out.
Yeah, we didn't. We took accountability for it. But I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking how tired I am, okay? And I wanted to eat and just relax. But you know what? When I walk up them steps, something happens, and I get this energy. I don't know where it comes from, because I always pray before we do the show. Always. I don't mm-hmm. do it without it. And then, bang, here we are. Now I'm full of energy now. I could run, you know, hang from the ceiling and all that stuff. Because it gets me excited to know that we can give hope to people.
That's right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting to me. I mean,
it's called enthusiasm, John.
I like
there
that.
You
yes.
Go.
Yes, that's what it's called.
Is that what that's called?
And that's
here's he's our word guy.
No, that's no, that's a spiritual thing that happens to people. I mean, you get enthused when you're fulfilling your purpose like you used to.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about what just happened. You guys are smiling. I'm a stranger. We met, we mm-hmm. had a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You were who you are, I'm who I am. You know what I mean? And I was able to say to you, look, I don't know how to like really talk about what happened because I've never experienced that. I could only imagine, you know, that happening. And I have four kids, and I don't know how they didn't walk down that road. I walked down. These things are really bothering me. I guess we have to get used to them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But that's like a miracle, and we believe that miracles happen here. Mm-hmm. You know, there's an atmosphere created because a couple of people get together and actually want to carry a message. And like we said at dinner, we don't know who's listening, and we don't really care. We're just, there may be somebody, and somebody's getting the help they need, or maybe a seed's getting planted, and you know, those are the things that we do. That's the only way that we can battle this disease. I will not go to Kensington and Allegheny and stand on a corner and tell people they shouldn't get high. I will never do that. You know, when they come to to see us here or call or whatever, then we're in a good position to help them. I mean, City of Angels is a great organization. So.
And you got, Angels in Motion, the moms from Angels in Motion who actually cruise Kensington and give out socks and sandwiches. And
Right.
It's just a whole trickle-down effect.
There's a lot.
If we can just think of the impact we're making just now, being on this radio show, either whether it be helping an addict who's using, listening, someone in recovery who's listening, having you two on the show.
Right.
You know, I'm going to go home, talk to my son more about, you know, just like this whole trickle-down effect of us spreading hope. It's amazing.
It's contagious,
it is.
Actually.
And on that note, I had the privilege of being at a drug court graduation the other day. And I used to have to go to drug court for our people that come through the houses, and it was every Thursday. It was in Bucks County. This is in Delco, in Media.
In Delco, Friday.
And I actually saw a girl who I hadn't seen in years, and I would think about her from time to time and thought there wasn't any good thing to think about, because the girl had been thrown out of this recovery house, that house, and always would fail at that time. And here she is sitting there, and I can't see that well, so I see this girl waving and waving. I'm thinking, I'm looking behind me, you know, how you do, like, because you don't know if they're talking to you or not. And I kept looking behind me, and she kept waving and smiling. So I have the program in my hand, and I see her name. And I said, oh, my God. So when it was over, we walked up to each other, we embraced, and both of us were in tears, because that's one who is still here. Mm-hmm. And you take them one by one. You take them, you know, this guy, that girl. Yeah, that's how you have to do it. And in my mind, as crazy as I could be, I have to break it down like that, because when you group them, it's either success of people who are still with us or failure. And I choose not to look at it like that. Mm-hmm. I choose, because of what we talked about, it's a disease. Some people make it and some people don't. And the ones who don't aren't any different than the ones who do. And that was a startling revelation to me, because I never looked at it that way. And when I did, I was able to reach more people that way instead of... Okay, well, you're probably not ready. You know, I don't say things like that anymore. I talk to people who are, a lot of people that are high when I'm talking to them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I just tell them. I used to be real sensitive and politically correct. And
I can't picture that.
Me neither.
I didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But I was working with a girl that lives in Cape May County, and she works for the county, and she has a kid, because she talked to the kid's mom. And I said, well, what do they want to do? And she said, well, the mom doesn't want to push him. So don't upset little Tommy, you know. So everybody walks on eggshells in that household, because this kid's ripping and running and getting high. I said, see if you think, you know, what is she going to say if, God forbid, something happens to this kid, and she's going to say, what more could I have done? I should have, I could have, but then it's too late. So I told her, tell her, now's the time. You know, and I get a lot of people that I talk to, they go, well, maybe next Thursday, you might not have next Thursday.
I know.
And that's how we address it, and that's how we have to do it. Because when you open a paper, you see that 900 people in Pennsylvania died from overdoses just in 1 year. 1 year.
We lost 1,600 in New Jersey in 2016.
In our township where we live, in 2016, there were a total of 5 heroin overdose deaths. In the first 3 weeks of this year, there were 6 overdose deaths. In the first 3 weeks of the year, I mean, this is epidemic proportions. This is
right, right.
Well, if all of us remember, and we should, because we're all that age, except for you.
Hey.
She said, hey. We're not separating you. You're just younger than us.
I know.
But it's just, it reminds me, and I don't know if it's just like it, but back in the 80s when people were dying from HIV, AIDS, dying left and right, and it was an epidemic until somebody's senator's kid or somebody got it, and all of a sudden medication was available. And they did the same thing. Oh, you know, they're not regular people. Keep them over there. You know, I would get people to say to me, I just gave that girl a hug. Do I need to be tested? Like, that's ridiculous.
We were making huge strides with the White House in the Office of Drug Policy, by Director Botticelli. I don't know if you've gone to that website lately. It's all gone. It's all gone. So I don't know the federal support that we're going to get back to recovery like we had a month ago.
Well, that's why we need to keep doing what we're doing.
Is he still so there, Art Botticelli?
No, gone.
Gone?
He was gone.
No, actually, I got a
farewell letter from him.
I can delete the picture in my phone?
Pretty much.
Wow.
Well, I know.
Unless you know a way to bring Groundhog Day back, yeah.
What we have going on, we have the big overdose awareness walk in Delco.
Yes, we did that last year.
We did. I got the picture.
That's right.
And when is that?
That is in April, I believe. We're going to have the person that started that NPO.
I know there's one on the Atlantic City Boardwalk, the Walk for Recovery or something.
Yeah, yeah. But this one
is for overdose awareness.
Overdose awareness. And the girl who started that nonprofit is going to be a guest on the show sometime soon. I tried to get her sooner, but she's doing Narcan trainings. Everybody's so busy with it.
You know? Hugely busy.
You want to call in 609-241-7103. We'd love to hear from you. We're really, really very interesting stuff tonight. Really good show.
Yes, definitely.
The training for Narcan, our local hospital, Lower Bucks County Hospital, was providing training there and giving out free Narcan. It was an hour and a half program that people could go to. It was open to the public.
Wow.
We had wanted to go. We had other commitments for the night that they were giving it, and I contacted the hospital, and they had offered to let me know when another program was going to be offered. Unfortunately, when they called me and let me know that, hey, we have another one going on, not at our hospital, at another local hospital, and I wrote them back and I said that, thank you, but the person that I needed it for is gone.
There is the Overdose Protection Agency, the Overdose Prevention Agency Corporation, TOPAC, and you can find them on the web. They have all the information about Narcan. They provide Narcan trainings. They tell you where there's trainings available if they're not holding one. There's prescriptions available through CVS and Walgreens for anyone to get. So
that's a pretty good keep resource. It at my house. Because I occasionally bring people in who aren't ready, you know, they have to go later on, but I want to keep them around me so I know they're okay. And I used to keep it in my car, but I put it in my house, and now I have that.
No, I hear you. I'm just taking all this in. I mean, it's a good show. And, you know, what do you have that, Shannon? Anything?
I'm grateful.
What are you thinking about?
My son.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm very grateful, and he's at that age, right? He's going into high school next year. Mm. And I, you know how we were talking about the invincible feeling?
Yep.
I get that with him. Mm-hmm. That, oh, he's going to be okay. He saw what his mom and his dad both went through. He'll be smart enough. He'll be this enough. And reality is, like we all know, the disease of addiction doesn't discriminate.
Not at all.
Whether how smart you are or, you know, so.
I just think it's a society, though. We're doing prevention mm-hmm. in high school. Right. Where we should be doing it in elementary and middle
yes.
school.
Right. That's right.
And we should be doing programs about how to, you know, really recover from addiction mm-hmm. or how to get into a recovery program or, you know. We have a whole program that we have kids that actually go out to the schools and, you know, talk to them. I mean, that's where they're going to relate to somebody that walked their shoes.
Right.
And unfortunately, I've had parents that say, well, my kid's just doing marijuana, so I'm not too worried about it. Mm-hmm.
It's a gateway drug, by the way, especially when it comes down to youth. I mean, someone who's under the age of 21, their brain is still developing. They shouldn't be using anything.
Right. Right.
Well, if you look at the legalization of it, right, it's different. In the 60s, you had, you know, marijuana. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think anybody cares what a 45-year-old man is doing after work in his living room. I think everyone cares what a 15-year-old is doing. You know what I mean? After mm-hmm. school, during school, mm-hmm. you know, whenever that period might be.
And the point I was trying to make was, it's pure. It's like 40-50% pure now, as opposed to 6-8% back then.
Oh, yeah.
Which means lots of brain damage, mm-hmm. lots of bad decisions, mm-hmm. lots of stuff that you wouldn't ordinarily have without that. So if they legalize it and something, oh, we got a call.
A hotline.
Saved by the bell. What was that?
Yep, hold on a second, I'll put you on the air. Hello, you're on the air.
Bucks County, and they pointed out one of the difficulties that they're trying to seek some legislation locally and perhaps other places. After someone is rescued with Narcan and taken to a local hospital, I guess it takes about 6 hours for them to be stabilized or something like that.
Right.
I'm not an expert in this area, but then after they're stabilized, they're turned loose again. And what they want to try to do, there's a movement here where they're trying to get legislation in place where they can hold these people involuntarily for 72 hours and try to get them into some kind of recovery situation rather than just saving their life and then turning them loose and then, you know, not really doing anything except right. saving the life when hopefully there would be more that they could do for them.
Yeah, you're... I know what you're saying, and we used to have it where you got Narcan and you went on your way, but now the awareness of that is way up, and there's actually programs now where people intervene while the person's still there. You know what I'm saying? So that's in the process. As each county and state realizes this, there will be more in place where if someone ODs, they have somebody in that six-hour window right at their bedside, whether they ask for
it. Although the saving the life is vitally important, if we could get even 25% of them as a starting number into some kind of recovery, rather than just, you know, turning them loose and saying good luck, you know, that's heartbreaking.
I agree. And, you know, that's it's a numbers problem. Because mm-hmm. you have to have people hired to cover all that.
But that's where you need recovery coaches. You exactly. really want to have, you know, someone who's been Narcan'd back should be meeting with the recovery coach
right.
to discuss their options.
I thought they were.
It depends on where you are. I can't speak for Bucks County. I can speak for here in New Jersey. which I know some of the police departments and one of the care programs that we actually participate in is where you get arrested, Narcan, DUI, anything like that. They contact us, recovery advocates. We send in a recovery coach to meet with that person and, you know, try to get them to go to recovery rather than jail.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, on the Bucks side, it's kind of hit or miss. There may be individual hospitals that have developed some kind of arrangements, but nothing at the county or even at the township level, for that matter.
Well, that's in the process. That should be.
You know, that's where advocacy comes into place.
Yeah, we have a couple organizations in Bucks County that will advocate for that, and that should be in place soon because everybody's aware of that, and you know. We're trying to cover all the bases, but it takes time and it takes people.
Right.
And if you don't,
hopefully the town hall meeting at Cairn University coming up will get that awareness ramped up also.
What day is that?
I don't have that in front of me right now. I've got the date in my cell phone, but my cell phone is elsewhere while I'm talking to you.
Okay.
I enjoyed the program. I guess I'm going to go and just listen to the rest of it.
All right.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Have a great night.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Yeah, one of the things I wanted to say is that, and Johnny, I think you're aware of this, that a few weeks ago, Governor Christie, the New Jersey governor, rolled out some major initiatives to try and fight and provide increased services for opioid addiction. And one of the things he did in setting that up at his State of the State address is he actually told Carlos's story. Mm-hmm. Of course, Carlos's story ended the way it did. We all know how that ended. There was also another young man, AJ, who was a little bit older than Carlos, who is being successful in recovery and is working to help others. And one of the things that New Jersey set up is a hotline and an entire website, ReachNJGov, right. Which is meant to coordinate the resources to bring, because as a parent, I had no clue where to go. I didn't know. You talked with somebody and they would say, do this, and then talked with somebody else and they would say, no, that's the wrong thing to do, do this. You really didn't know. There was nobody to talk to find out what's the next step for my son. How do I help him the best? So I think through some of the programs, they're supposed to be ramping up recovery coaches. They're planning to get more education into the schools in terms of, as we were talking about before. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I want to say about the schools, and Carlos and I talked about this, is he said, Mom, I had DARE in fifth grade just like everybody else right. did. He said, but there was nothing in middle school, nothing happened. Mm-hmm. High school, virtually nothing happened. And we also talked about not only learning about drugs and their effects and what are the resources if I do get myself in a situation where I need help, what are the coping skills that they're teaching kids? You know, the kid has a problem, they feel they're in over their head over something, or in Carlos's case, low self-esteem. How does he,
they're,
how do they deal with?
They're not teaching them anything. No, like
right.
That. Unfortunately, right. If they were to teach that in their curriculum, that would be admitting that there is a drug problem in their community, which mm-hmm. they are not about to face head mm-hmm. on.
Well, I mean, in terms of coping skills, we all need. I mean, you hear
this
now.
Is true. I'm not saying we don't need them. I'm telling you the mentality of the school systems right, that we're right. dealing with, and the Board of Education's actually. We get more coordination from the SAC officers than we do from the Board of Education, because for them to admit is for them to say mm-hmm. there's a problem in our community, and most mm-hmm. of them don't want to do that, which is sad. This mm-hmm. is where we should be attacking. You know, there should be prevention in the middle schools. There's, you know, they're starting now because we put a lot of pressure on them, but we're still in the midst of an epidemic, and we really need to go at this wholeheartedly. You know, we had... We lost one child to a Zika virus in this past summer, and there was press conferences and everything else.
Right.
We lost 1,600 kids to the disease of addiction in 2016. We didn't have any press conferences.
No,
I mean,
I
seriously.
Sad.
I'm very happy to see Governor Christie right now. I mean, you know,
I don't think a lot of people like them. The recovery community is hugging you, big guy.
That's right.
And so are the parents.
But they did offer this now, and that is a resource that's out there for you. And like you said, that's NJGov. It's governor.gov/reachnewjersey, and that'll take you to it. But there's also a helpline, which is 1-844-REACH-NEW-JERSEY. That's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they will guide you through, you know, getting help. So.
Plus, they also, he made initiatives for longer treatment.
Yes.
Yes.
It needed to happen. It really needed to happen.
We're on the front lines. We know that. We've been screaming for that forever.
So which leads us to up right now.
My co-host and our word for the week. What do you got over there, Artie?
Are you talking to me?
You're my co-host, correct?
Well, you were looking at Artie, but no, I'm just I'll tell you what, the word that came up was dedication, actually.
Nice.
And I don't know, that I just see a lot of that going on. Usually, I'm not premeditated with the word. It sort of like happens. And I just see like, you know, everybody here is dedicated. And the reason I look it up in the dictionary is because I think... What's so funny?
Yeah, you don't have your headphones on.
I know,
but... you'd know.
What did you do, Art?
Do it again.
Huh? What?
Your word of the week.
Oh, that thing.
Word of the week, yeah.
Look, dedication, according to Webster's, is the quality of being dedicated or committed to a task or a purpose. And that's what's happening here. Everybody that's here came because there's a purpose. There's a need for this. We're not joking around. My life is on the line day in and day out if I don't pursue recovery.
Right.
And I realize that. And I'm just so glad that I'm able to meet and be here tonight. You know, hopefully we'll keep in touch. If there's anything that we can ever do with your causes and the things that you're involved with, give us a call. And I can tell you right now, 95% of the time we'll show up.
We will do that. Thank you.
You know,
it's not a bad percentage.
No, it's not. I mean, it's, you know, 5% I don't show up. Usually if I'm sick or out of town, I don't show up. And I never get sick, but I'm out of town.
It'll be quite impossible to show up if you're out of town.
Exactly. Well, that's included in the 5%. Why are you getting smart? <I'm good. laughs> Did you want to read something?
No, I was just got some notes. But I do want to say to anybody out there who is struggling, please, I know it's hard to take the first step. Hey, we've all struggled with something. Nobody's struggle-free. Nobody has a perfect life. That's not part of the plan. Please reach out. There's love out here for you. Mm. You know, we love you. We want to help you. We want to get to you and do whatever we need to do to help you through this. Just like we would need that for ourselves. So, and I really do believe that's part of God's plan, is we're supposed to help. We're supposed to love our neighbor. We're supposed to reach out. We don't live on an island. We don't live in a vacuum. You know, we're not vacuum sealed people. We're out there talking and living and interacting and loving each other. You know.
Well, we are people that are available, but it takes you to give us a call. Call the radio station, ask for assistance, ask who can I talk to? Who can I talk to change the way things are going? Mm-hmm. And we all struggle with feeling that I can't handle it myself. And sometimes you just think the only way to handle things is to escape from it. And that's not the way it works.
Right.
So if you or a loved one is struggling with addiction, you know, help is available for you. You can call the City of Angels hotline, 609-910-4942.
Nice.
Awesome. Or you could call while we're on the air, 609-241-7103, which might get you onto the radio show.
What do you have to say, darling?
I'm so glad I came out tonight.
I'm pleased.
We are too.
Meeting Pam and Mike, it was amazing.
We're not done
there
yet.
We go.
Saved by the phone. It's Mike.
I believe it's at 7.
Actually, you, you want to go ahead and tell us when that meeting is. He's giving us the date for the meeting. Go ahead. I got you on the air. Go ahead and tell us that meeting.
Oh, okay. I looked it up. The Cairn University Town Hall is on February 15th. I believe it's at 7 o'clock.
Okay. Great. All right. Thank you very much. I live right around the corner.
Where's that at? Where's it being held?
Cairn University. It's
Langhorne.
Yeah, it's just off Durham Road, just north of Business One.
Awesome. I think we'll go too.
All right. I'll meet you there.
I got to tell you, thank you. You're going to be there?
Yep, my wife and I will be there.
Good. We'll be giving out prizes to people. We'll be there on behalf of City of Angels.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thanks for that. I appreciate it. See, everybody wants to help. Mm-hmm. And when you have everybody wants to help, together we can.
You should call and see about getting us a table there.
I'll see what I can do.
I want to go.
I'll bring the City of Angels display.
The Wednesday.
I can go.
I live next door to Cairn University.
My home group? Oh, it is my home group.
My home group too, but if you miss it, I'll miss it.
They would understand.
Yeah, I'll get permission.
That's for a good reason.
Right.
That's for a good reason.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't think twice.
So I have a question. Can you help me understand about recovery coaches? Because that's not something that Carlos had experienced. So how does that fit into a person's recovery?
Well, a recovery coach is there or is trained to, you know, what can I do for your recovery today? I'm there to remove your barriers to get you to attend, whatever that might be. Mm-hmm. As the parent, you might be the barrier. Mm-hmm. Seriously.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's transportation, you know, whatever that barrier is, you know what I mean? We try and take all that away and assist them in going. You're in recovery when you say you're in recovery. Whether you and I agree with that or not, it's true, you know. And it's hard, but I just try. I say a lot of stuff. How's that working out for you? Well, I lost my job. I don't have a car. I'm homeless. And how's that working out for you? Because you want them to start thinking about their own situation. You know, if I'm giving you the answers to everything, it's not going to work that way. You really kind of have to think about it. So as a recovery coach, we kind of train people to, and I'm a recovery coach trainer as well. We train people to take away those barriers and how to be objective and ethical, and you know, really do. And John's been through that training with us. It's really firsthand training. There's skits, you know, where you really try to, you know, live it for the, you know, firsthand. And then we take people in, you know, into our office at City of Angels. There's usually someone there, you know, almost every evening, where we can have recovery coaches come in and sit with us and get actually some real-time experience with, you know, the families that are walking in, the situations that are walking in. I mean, sometimes we have people that come in drunk from the AA meeting on Monday night. You know, they bring them in. They're like, hey, they walked into our meeting. Can you help them? And we've done that several times. Mm-hmm. But they can learn firsthand how to, you know what I mean, try and help someone. Yeah. Another program that we offer is the COA Family Program, and that's really a non-denominational program that really helps families try to understand and learn, you know, how to help their loved ones. And sometimes the best way to help is to, you know, step out of the way and remove yourself, exactly, you know, mm-hmm. and let somebody come in. You know, a lot of times when a family comes in, you know, with someone, you know, and there's, you know, maybe some people that are in recovery around, we try and take the family over here and meet, you know, have someone that's currently in recovery or that was close to their age, situation, and meet with them, because a lot of times that's something that means something, you know.
Mm, yes.
They're hearing it from almost their own lips.
Right. So did that clarifying?
Yeah, that helps.
You can actually learn a lot more. There's a whole recovery coach section on our City of Angels website that explains it as well.
Yeah.
Recovery coaches were put into place to put more boots on the ground to handle the addiction. It takes 2 years to become, you know, a counselor. It takes a week's worth of training to become a recovery coach, and that really gives us more, you know, frontline people, you know, to help out. Mm-hmm.
Which is another arm of what we do here. This wonderful organization called City of Angels. Parting thoughts?
great show, great day to be alive. My honor to meet you and
Thank you.
Share this hour with you, and hopefully we'll keep in touch.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks. We feel the same. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Yes. Thank you.
Awesome show. And pleasure again to meet both of you.
Same here, Shannon. Thank you.
Stay grateful, my friends.
Yes.
Stay grateful.
Did you say that before?
Where's the loop?
No.
No?
Well,
did I? I don't know.
I don't know if you did. Let's go back.
They're going to debate over there. It's been a spirited hour. I got to tell you, I'm
there's
very
debate for me, John.
No. Okay. I'm very grateful for my guest. Thank you. It was an honor and a pleasure, and I mean that from my heart.
Thank you.
To have you guys on the show tonight.
Thank you.
You also. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Better be. Now, that's just the kind of relationship we have. Say that.
Okay. Artie, what's coming up before we knock it away?
Actually, we have our Applebee's Flapjack Breakfast coming up March 5th. It's Sunday, March 5th. It's $8. That's one of our fundraisers. We are 100% volunteer, so this is how we raise some of our money. This is the run, whatever donations we can get, and this is what helps us do what we do.
Thank you for that. And thank everyone for listening. Without you, we don't have a show. So.
That scared me.
You can still talk while the music's playing, John.
We're making up these rules as we go along.
Man, I got a lot to teach you.
You get used to a certain thing. Killing me. All right. Thanks again. I'm grateful. Thanks, Pam, Mike, and Shannon. And until next week, be well.
Take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can. Don't even try to understand. Just find a place to make your stand. Take it easy. Well, I'm standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona, and such a fine sight to see. Girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me.